Greetings again, pilgrims. It's Pastor Bob, and it's our Sabbath day. Amen. And it's our 13th episode of The Way of a Pilgrim, the Jesus Prayer Journey. We're in the second narrative, and our friend the pilgrim has finally set off from his time with the other hermit in the woods, and he has begun to master the gift of the prayer of the heart. He says the prayer of the heart is manifested in three ways. Remember that? In spirit, in feelings, and through revelations. And he is experiencing all three of those. All through his walks and all through his wanderings now, the self-acting prayer of the heart is his consolation and joy, no matter what he encounters along the way. Wherever I happened to be, whatever I was doing, he said, it never got in the way and was never diminished in any way at all. He said, if I was working, the prayer overflowed from my heart on its own and the work went faster. And if I was listening attentively to something or reading while the prayer continued unceasingly, he said I would simultaneously be aware of both, as if I'd been divided in two, or there were two souls in my one body. Oh my God, what a mystery man is! Oh Lord, how wondrous are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. Let's pick it up right there as we proceed forward in our second narrative. My travels were also filled with many wonderful experiences and incidents. Were I to recount them all, 24 hours would not suffice. In the spring, I came to a village where I found lodging for the night at a priest's house. The priest was a very kind man and lived all by himself, and I ended up spending 3 days with him. After he got to know me a bit during this time, he said, "Stay here with me. I need a conscientious man here, and I'll pay you. You see that we are building a new stone church near the old wooden one. I have not been able to find a reliable man to serve as a caretaker during the construction and to sit in the old church and be in charge of accepting donations for the new building. You could handle this, and it would suit your way of life, since it would allow you to sit alone in the chapel and pray. There is even a separate little booth for the caretaker to sit in. Please stay, at least until the new church is built." I tried to get out of doing this, but the priest was so insistent that I finally had to give in to his request. So throughout that summer and into the fall, I lived in the chapel. At first, it was peaceful and very conducive to reciting my prayer, even though the chapel was much visited, especially on feast days. Some people came to pray and some simply to pass the time, while others came to steal from the collection box. I regularly read the Bible and the Philokalia, and when visitors saw this, some of them would strike up a conversation with me. Others would simply ask me to read to them for a while. I noticed that a young peasant girl came frequently to the chapel, on each visit spending a long time in prayer. I overheard some of her hushed words and found that some of the prayers she was using were very odd sounding, while others seemed to be somewhat distorted versions of the ones which I was familiar. "Who taught you all this?" I asked. She replied that her mother, who was a pious woman, had taught her. Her father was a schismatic who belonged to a sect that rejected the priesthood. I sympathized with all this and then advised her to pray according to the proper tradition of the church, namely, the Lord's Prayer, and Rejoice, Virgin Theocritus. Finally, I said to her, why don't you make a habit of saying the Jesus Prayer? It reaches out to God more directly than any other prayer, and through it you will attain salvation. The girl took my advice to heart and very simply began doing what I had taught her. And do you know what happened? After a short time, she informed me that she had become so accustomed to the Jesus Prayer that she felt compelled to recite it continuously, if such a thing were possible, and that while she prayed, she was filled with happiness, whereas when she stopped, she was filled with joy and a fervent desire to continue praying. I was overjoyed by this and advised her to keep praying in the name of Jesus Christ. By the end of the summer, many of the visitors to the chapel were now coming to see me. They came not only to hear me read to them and for advice, but they also brought all their problems to me, even seeking help in locating misplaced or lost items. Obviously, some of them took me for some sort of fortune teller. Well, as time went on, life became unbearably noisy for me and full of distracting temptations. Finally, the summer was over, and I decided to leave the chapel and proceed on my journey. I went to the priest and I said, Father, you know what I seek. I need quiet surroundings in order to pray, and there are too many harmful distractions here. I have fulfilled my promise to you and have stayed through the summer. Let me go now and give me your blessing for my solitary journey. The priest did not want to let me go, and he tried to convince me to stay. What's stopping you from praying right here? There's nothing for you to do except to sit in the chapel. Your daily bread is provided for you. Say your prayers there day and night if you like, and live with God, brother. You are gifted, and your presence here is good for us. You don't gossip idly with visitors, and you are doing something profitable for God's church by faithfully taking in the collections. This is more pleasing to God than your prayers in solitude. What do you need solitude for? It's better to pray in community with others. God did not create man so that he could get to know only himself, but so that people would help each other and lead each other to salvation according to each one's abilities. Look at the examples of the saints and the fathers. They were concerned and cared for the church day and night and traveled all over to preach. They did not go off in solitude and hide from the people. God gives to each man his own gift, Batushka. Batushka meaning little father. There have been many preachers, but there have also been many hermits. Each found his own unique calling and followed it, believing that through this, God himself was guiding him on the path to salvation. How then would you explain the fact that so many saints gave up their ecclesiastical offices, their administrative positions, and their priestly duties, and fled into the solitude of the desert to avoid the confusion and distractions of living among people? Saint Isaac of Syria fled, leaving behind his diocese. The venerable Athanasius of Athos fled from his large monastery. They did this precisely because those places were too distracting, too full of temptations for them, and because they genuinely believed the words of Jesus Christ. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Amen.